welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Magnify the Lord. It is right to magnify the Lord. He is bigger than anything. He is bigger than any trial. He is bigger than any power and any principality. He is greater than anything that is in this world. His love is greater than things past, things present, things to come. No height, no depth can even probe the endless, matchless boundaries of His love. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord in your mind. Magnify the Lord in your mind. For He truly is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could even ask or even think. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord above the roars of the accuser. Magnify the Lord above the roars of the adversary who goes about as a roaring lion. Magnify the Lord. He is greater. He is greater. My Father is greater than all. And you are in the palm of His hand this morning. And no one can snatch you from His hand. That's where you are. You fit in His hand. He is great. He is mighty. The one who would speak to your mind, the one who would try to discourage you. There is coming a day when the nations are going to say, is that the man who deceived the nations? That little man? Oh, we serve a great and mighty God. It is not even close. Magnify the Lord in your mind. He is greater. He is good. You just believe He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Oh, magnify the Lord. Exalt His name. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus, we magnify you in this place this morning. Oh, you're greater. You are greater. Praise God. You destroyed death. You destroyed sin. Never one time did you yield to its power, but at every point you defeated it. Praise God. In the likeness of sinful flesh, you defeated it. Oh, Jesus, thank you. And because you did, you've unleashed a brand new law into the earth. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We're not afraid this morning because you are our Lord and you are greater than all. We magnify you in this place, Jesus. We make you bigger in our hearts and our minds than anything that would be coming against us. We love you. We love you, and in that place of magnification, we rest in you. Praise you, Father. Now, Lord, we just pray that as we go forward in this service, Father God, that we go forward in that spirit of truth, that spirit of victory, the anointing that breaks the yoke, Father God. That anointing, we go forward. There's an anointing that abides within us, and there's an anointing on your word. And we pray, Father, that anointed word would just penetrate our hearts and minds this morning. Oh, that we would receive it from these green pastures and still waters, knowing that you're a safe place. We love you, Lord. We commit this service to you. Be glorified in all that we say and do, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll go ahead and get started here this morning. All right. So be encouraged this morning. Magnify the Lord. Of course, we're not making God any bigger than he already is. He's the same. But we're making him bigger on the inside, aren't we?
Yes.
We're making him bigger in our hearts and our minds. And we're kind of going, oh, yeah, that's right. He really is greater than he that's in this world. You know, he really did defeat Satan. He really did raise from the dead. You know, we're just reminding ourselves, we're stirring ourselves up in the greatness of God. And in that, it brings us to a place of faith. Praise God, where we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, who God is. Well, this morning, we're going to start off by looking at a series of scriptures. And these are scriptures that, you know, I know you guys have heard before, because I know you, and I know you come here. But as you see these scriptures, just be looking, I want you to be looking for a pattern, okay? I want you, a pattern to surface. And again, these are going to be familiar scriptures. Sometimes it's harder when they're familiar scriptures, but it's kind of like you, if you've seen some of those little, picture illusions where you can kind of look at something for a while and then something will pop out at you. Well, this is going to be kind of these scriptures. They're going to be a familiarity, and I'm just believing God that we're going to see something, a common thread, a continuity of thought as we look at them with just kind of fresh eyes. Psalm 23, 1 through 3, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under his mighty hand, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then finally, Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is almost, I almost like to think of a basket of scriptures, a family grouping of scriptures that you can just sense the continuity of thought as you're looking at these. I just pulled five out. We could have done many, many more. But when you look at these scriptures, there's a certain pattern that we can kind of see. It's in every one of these scripture, in every one of these scriptures, there's an exhortation about it. And I guess the couple things that I just want to see as we kind of move into the title of the message this morning, a couple patterns that I see here is when you start out in the scripture, the person is one way. As you get into the scripture, a person moves, I'll say they're in one place, okay? As you kind of go through the scripture, you wind up in another place. You move from one place to another place. In Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, this guy starts out standing, all right? But by the end of this passage, he's lying down, getting his soul restored. He didn't start there. He started over here. He started out standing up. And something, there's a catalyst. There's a pattern and there's a catalyst. He starts out standing up. By the end of it, he's lying down, getting restored. And someone is responsible for that. His problems are not solved at this point. He's just lying down. And he says, he makes me to lie down. You know, we naturally want to stay standing, but he makes us to lie. When you cooperate with him, he's going to get you from standing to lying down. Jesus, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Okay? So my starting out place is a place of labor and heavy laden. Now, what does that mean exactly? It can mean anything. It can mean the circumstances of life. It can mean personal failure. It can mean fear. It can mean all, you fill in the blank. Anything that causes you to be, you know, heavy laden, all right? And he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. You're going to find something. You're going to find rest for your soul. Similar to the Psalm guy, he restores my soul. He gives rest to my soul. He's going to move me from a place of heavy ladenness to a place of rest. How do I get there? There just seems to be a person there again. The Lord who is my shepherd here is now the Lord Jesus, we see clearly, who's saying, come to me. He's beckoning us from this place to him so he can bring us to this place. We're moving from one place to another. Hebrews 4, seeing we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, let us hold fast our confession, for we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I'm starting out in a place where I don't have the mercy and the grace that I need right now. I'm going through something, and here again, I'm being beckoned. In the same way Jesus beckons, come to me. Here we see the Hebrew writing saying, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, to our great high priest. Same thing. I'm coming to him. Now as I'm coming to him, I'm finding grace and mercy in that time of need. Just kind of looking for the pattern here. Also 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves into the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You're coming from a place of care to a place to where he's caring for you. And again, we see a person involved here. You're casting your cares on the Lord. You're casting your cares upon him. And then finally, Philippians 4, 6 through 8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's that person again. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So what we're seeing here in this kind of opening sequence of scriptures is there's a continuity, there's a commonality, there's a flow that we get hit with in these scriptures where we start out in one place, and as we just by faith go to God, he takes us to another place. And so this morning, simply what I want to talk about is moving from anxiety to peace. That's kind of the common theme of all these scriptures. It doesn't matter, again, I'm not getting down to, you know, problem solving of what the anxiety is and how to fix the problem. We're not talking about fixing problems this morning. These scriptures aren't talking about fixing problems. They're talking about something at a very higher level. It's kind of first things first. A lot of times we want to figure out the nth degree of something and we're in a place of turmoil and heavy ladenness and all this kind of stuff is going on and we need it, da-da-da-da-da. And really God is saying, you've got bigger fish to fry than figuring out the answer to that right now. You need to lie down here, okay? You need to get yourself in a place to where you can hear the answer. Where you have, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, apparently, the big determinant factor was, do you have ears to hear? And what God is doing by moving us from a place of anxiety to a place of peace, he's moving us from the place we're in to a place where we simply have ears to hear. When you have ears to hear and you're in that place of peace, it's amazing what you can hear from here that you can't hear over there. Something happens when you're over here as it relates to your perception of God and the reality of his love for you, that all of a sudden you can hear things. God could be saying the same thing, but you just can't hear it over there. We always think of he who has ears to hear as somebody else not getting the gospel or understanding the message. We are the ones, through heavy ladenness and anxiety, that get ourselves out of position a lot of times to have ears to hear what God is saying. And so this morning, we're just talking about a simple shift. We're talking about just a move to get you in a position to hear. Because a lot of times, you know, God doesn't always necessarily want somebody else to give you the answer. You know, he's your Lord. He's your good shepherd. He would like you to be in a place where he can give you the answer. You know, and you just know that's God leading and guiding you. Nothing wrong with people fellowshipping, speaking to your life, and they say things that bear witness to your spirit. That's all good. But I'm just saying God wants us to learn how to move from anxiety to peace to where we can hear what he's saying in our lives. You know, Carla had a great message last week about, you know, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about God? And, you know, Jesus had his two-question test. He said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You know, we could kind of ask ourselves that question sometimes in the church too. What does our church believe about God? What do I believe about God? What do I believe about God when I'm laboring and I'm heavy laden? You know, do I really believe that he is gentle and lowly in heart? Do I believe that when I'm coming to God with my anxieties, my cares, that I'm coming before somebody who is gentle and lowly in heart? These are some things that influence us as to why we'll stay over here longer than we need to sometimes. What do you believe about him? So this morning, I just pray that our hearts will be refreshed, strengthened, encouraged to, again, just see Jesus for who he is. Not what we're feeling, but who the Word of God says he is and is his wonderful. Because ultimately, in all those five scriptures, he is the catalyst that's going to move you from here to here, from the place of anxiety to the place of peace. So first of all, as we're going to look at this pattern, there's a sequence of events and things that happen, and we're just going to kind of connect some dots here this morning as it relates to these scriptures. So in moving from anxiety to peace, the first thing that you're going to do is you are confronting anxiety. In other words, it's one thing to be over here, but pretend like you're not here, pretending like you're there when you're really here. That can be a dark place. Jesus said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, if you're really in a place of anxiety and you're pretending like you're over there in a place of peace when you're really not, if the light that is in you is a self-deception, how great is that darkness? If that's what you've got to cling to. No, Jesus, he's the truth, isn't he? He's going to cause us to come to a place of truth. We're going to confront anxiety. A lot of times Christianity gets a bad rap as being some kind of a wimpy little crutch that people use and stick their heads in the ground and look the other way and pretend things don't exist and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and don't really confront things. Nothing can be further from the truth. The way the Bible reads. Christians are absolutely ruthless when you do it right. When it comes to getting free, you'll see over and over in the scriptures, we are confronting anxiety. We're confronting things. In other words, when Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, you say, I'm not laboring. I'm not heavy laden. I'm not. That's not me. No, 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 no. Well, I guess you don't have to come unto him then. But when you say, yes, I'm laden I'm heavy laden. I need to come unto Jesus. There's a humbling of our heart. But the first thing that we got to do is we got to confront anxiety. We got to admit that it is there. Philippians 4:6. Again, we're going to kind of revisit some of these scriptures in different translations and get a little bit more light. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance, in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. That's Amplified. New Living, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Okay? So, what is this? What are these scriptures doing? They're giving us the practical way that we come unto Him. We see that in I'll just call it the pattern. We see this pattern where I'm coming to God to move from anxiety to peace. What does that mean in real life? It means that I'm going to stop and on purpose acknowledge that I have anxiety. And I am going to, on purpose, through prayer, take that anxiety and let my request be made known to God. It's going to be a definite act. And you know, sometimes it just seems almost superfluous. Like, why would I even have to? He knows what I need before I pray. I'm living in this. It's just like He already knows this. I already know this. It's like stating the obvious. Yeah, it is. It's stating the obvious. And there is something about you in prayer stating the obvious that's going to cause you to move from here to there, from anxiety to peace. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Here's another in 1 Peter 5, it says, therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you. How do you do it? Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. This kind of goes back to, what do you believe about God? How do you perceive Him? Yeah, so as I'm over in this place, I'm having to come face to face and say, yeah, I've got cares. Yeah, I've got anxiety. There are some things that I am really anxious about right now. And I'm supposed to humble myself. You know what you're doing here? In a sense, you're giving up control. When you decide to really pray and get something from your heart out over to God. As long as, and that's really kind of what fear is. Fear is holding on to the controls. But there is something about this, and I know it just seems, oh, it's prayer, da da da. There is something supernatural when we come unto Him. And when you're kind of coming, this kind of, when you come to this interim place, you know, when you're moving from anxiety to peace and you're here, this is kind of the messy spot. I know it sounds clean and nice, neat lines to say, you know, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Well, that sounds nice and clean and neat and easy. But in real life, when you're here and you're praying about stuff that's causing anxiety in your life, it's intimidating, because when you have anxiety, there's things you don't know. You don't know how this thing is going to end. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know what that report's going to be. There's something you don't know, and you don't have a sense of control. And so how do I just pray about everything? How do I pray a nice, clean prayer about things? Sometimes, as my emotions and my things are going, I'm heavy laden. And so I'm coming over to this place where I'm supposed to find rest for my soul, and I come here, and I begin to pray. Now, a powerful word here, we see it in two different ways. Okay. You know, it says here, casting the whole of your care upon Him. In other words, there is a casting. There's literally a throwing. What happens here when I'm praying, when I'm coming on Him? There's a casting of the care. In Philippians, it says, but in everything, by prayer and petition, or it's supplication with definite requests, with thanksgiving, letting your request be made known unto God. In other words, there's something that happens. There's an unloading here. There's an unloading that's taking place here. This is also kind of the part where he's making you to lie down. You're wanting to stay over here, and he keeps bringing you back and saying, okay, let's talk this out. Let's let you get what's in your heart out. This, when you're talking about anxiety, the messiness of anxiety, I can almost like to liken it to, you know, that junk drawer in our house that we'll walk past month after month and year after year. And then finally, when you're needing that paper clip or that screwdriver and you're trying to open it, it won't open anymore because something is in there the wrong way. And then you got to clean it out just so you can open it up again. And finally, and when you do that, you know, as you're kind of thinking of all the stuff that's in there and you finally are able to pry it open and get it out to where you can dump it out and organize it to where it'll open and close again, you start looking at some things in there and you know some very obvious stuff. There's maybe some obvious junk in there that somehow got put in there that should have been put in the garbage. So that kind of gets put out there right away. And then you see, you know, six batteries kind of scattered around. So I'll just put the batteries together, you know, and then all of a sudden you see, you know, the paper clips and different things like that. As you're kind of looking at this junk drawer, you know, all of a sudden, as you're just kind of going there, the more you look at it, the more you see, the more ideas you get, and pretty soon before you know it, there's actual inspiration and energy, and then you get that junk drawer nice and cleared out, and it's like, wow, this is great, clear, I can see everything. But you started with a mess. But you've, by faith, you didn't go into cleaning that junk drawer with an idea of where you were going to put it. You just went in there by faith. And you started with what you knew. And as you just did what you knew, things just started to come into focus. But it took a step of faith to do that. When you're over here in anxiety, it is kind of like an emotional, soulish junk drawer. Now the promise is, he's going to restore my soul. All right? The restored soul is like that nice, neat junk drawer that you're very proud of and tell everybody else in the house to come and look at the nice, neat junk drawer and try to keep it clean as long as we can, you know, for a few more months anyway. But there is something that happens as you're going from a place of a messy drawer to a clear drawer, and that's where you got to realize that as I'm going from messy to neat and tidy, although I'm approaching prayer, I got to realize it's not just me. He restores my soul. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. There's a peace that passes my understanding. There is something else at work here. Especially when you're a Christian and you're dealing with stuff and you got theological turf battles and all that kind of stuff going on. And who am I pleasing and who am I... You know, you're saved by grace through faith because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And a lot of times when you're working through stuff, it brings you right back to there. Jesus, I love you. Gaga, goo, goo. I don't care. I'm not trying to impress anybody here. I just need you. I love you. Just show me. Show me. I need your help. I need to get this drawer cleared. And a lot of what it is, I'm not trying to straighten the drawer in my own strength. All I'm doing is if you think of it, when you're clearing out that junk drawer, what are you doing? You're dumping it out, and then you're organizing it. So when you're coming unto him with prayer and supplication, you're just dumping out. You're just turning the drawer over. That's all you're doing. You're not figuring anything out. No big revelations. I'm just casting my care on him. He's the great sorter. And he can reveal to me and lead me and guide me into all truth and put Humpty back together again in a way that makes sense. In the way that certain teachings make sense and theological understandings and perceptions and the Holy Spirit will cause you to remember things that you've even learned spiritually and truths. And so that pressure isn't on yourself to try to make theological camps happy or anything like that. You're coming before your Lord and you are just casting those cares, tipping it over. What does that look like? You just start with a piece of whatever that anxiety is. Lord, I'm worried about this. Lord, I need help. I need wisdom. I need understanding. Lord, I'm stubborn here. I know the right thing to do, and I'm not doing it. God, help me. God, help me to humble myself under your mighty hand. God, I want to be close. I want to walk with you. I want that place of fellowship. God, there's some things that I don't know. And all of a sudden, maybe You're just going to start praying for somebody that you don't know. You want them to write, and God will just lead you to pray for somebody. And then God will just, as you're praying for that person, all of a sudden there's just a continuity. The Holy Spirit, as you're just praying, He'll just begin to show you other things to pray about. He'll begin to show you, Lord, as I'm praying for that person, and as I'm so mad, and I'm beginning to pray for him, and I know I forgive, so Father, I forgive. Even as you have forgiven me, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I know you want me to forgive them. And Father, help me to be strong in this area. And it can sound messy. You understand? Those prayers, if you're praying about everything, worry about nothing. If you're praying about anxiety, there is going to be maybe a bit of hodgepodge about it. All I'm saying is, don't worry about that. You're doing what God's told you to do. You're by faith getting after it. And as you do, the Holy Spirit is with you there. But there is a step one. There's confronting anxiety. And I wish I could tell you that when I've been in this place, I've always run to Jesus. I've always come to him. Nah, I haven't. I've been spiritually proud and stayed in places of darkness and turmoil. Things that I've known aren't God. Things that I've known are not his wisdom. But holy my ground, there's a humbling of yourself, casting your cares upon him. What are you saying? You're saying, I need help. Over here, you don't acknowledge your need for help. Over here, you're saying, I need help. I'm confronting it. I'm confronting. If I'm going to move from anxiety to peace, I got to confront the fact that I need God's help. I need him. I need his help in moving from anxiety to peace. And again, it's important. I just want to clarify. As I'm doing this, I'm not trying to figure things out. All I'm doing is I'm just casting the care. But I will say this. As you're casting the care, you may get some revelation while you're casting. You may get some insight right away. But ultimately, my goal is to get the heaviness that's in me out. Remember what Jesus said? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The goal is rest. It's not solutions. It's not problem solving. There's no pressure here. The only thing that I'm doing is I'm casting my cares on him. I'm taking the heaviness that's in me, and I'm in prayer, I'm letting that request be made known to God. That's all I can do. And the word of God says there's something sweet. There's something before God that God works with that. That's a humility that God will work with, and he will take those cares for you. There's a scripture that something Jesus said. He said, he who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. A message says, if your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. New Living. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll open it, but if you give up your life, you'll find it. And a lot of time moving from here to here is that. I'm clinging, I'm holding on. I've got it, Lord. I've got it from here. I can take it from here. And you're going, nope, I don't have it from here. I don't have it. I need to lose something here. And that's the cool thing. When you move from here to here, you not only find your life, you find him. Isn't that cool? There's such a pressure on your mind here. But the Spirit of God in you is a spirit of a sound mind. And when you get to this place, you can actually, what we said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You begin to hear the Spirit. And you begin to think with a clarity of thought. And it's not because you're bright or your brilliance or your intellect. It's the Holy Spirit having voice in that humility, in that acknowledging. It gives the Holy Spirit something to respond to. Over there, he's got nothing to respond to. Here, God has something to respond to. He has something to answer back. He has something to work with. Humility. God loves humility. Resists the proud, but pours out that grace to the humble. And it is a point of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. How do we do that? We do that through prayer. We do that through confronting anxiety. When we do that, just kind of what we talked a little bit about, something else happens. There's letting God's peace rule. I'm confronting anxiety, and there's another aspect, part two. I'm going to let God's peace rule. The scripture says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule. Let it. Now, this is where he's making you to lie down on the green pastures. You have a choice here. He's saying, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, as to which members of Christ's one body you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. There is a peace that rules in our heart. We just think of peace as, oh, this beautiful, I'm just kind of, oh, I'm in a tranquil state. Almost kind of peace as being like this passive thing. You know what? Peace is not a passive thing when it comes to the devil. Peace, Satan is afraid of your peace. Satan wants you on his merry-go-round over here. If you're in anxiety and you're on his merry-go-round, he's got you right where he wants you. When you're here in a place of peace, you see right through him. You're a danger to him. You know, I can't remember. It was the most recent installment, the most recent in terms of the chronology installment of the whole Star Wars saga. There's a place where the gal, there's this evil guy, Kylo Ren, I think he is. He just has the ability to just take people's minds and find out what he wants to find out. He can just like produce anxiety on people's minds and just get out of them whatever he wants to get out. It's like the enemy goes about as a roaring lion, just roaring so loud, so intimidating that you just cave and yield. He just kind of has, he's this character that has the ability to do that. And of course, the heroine, the girl who has the force, you know, he tries it on her and you can see her beginning to cave, and all of a sudden something happens in her. And all of a sudden she begins to look, and she looks right at him and she says something like, "You're afraid. You're afraid." Nobody'd ever talked to him like that before. He's used to being in control. There's an irony, isn't there? When we give up our control over here and we get into that place of peace, we can see things from here over there that we couldn't see over there. It's like the old expression, you can't see the forest through the trees. But when you come over here and just start emptying that junk drawer by faith, knowing you need God, knowing you need him, humbling yourself under his mighty hand, by faith just casting cares, hodgepodge, whatever it is, all of a sudden you have a different vantage point, and peace is powerful. Peace is not a passive little thing that just gives you good little goosebumps. Peace is a weapon. Peace is the thing that causes you not to jump when the enemy roars. He's roaring and you're not even flinching. There's peace. And the scripture says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. All of a sudden, you're not gauging things by what they sound like anymore and what so-and-so might think. And whether it's, you're just saying, peace or no peace? There's no peace in that. I'm not biting. Nope. And that's not because you're so tough or anything. It's the Spirit of God in you. All of a sudden, you get familiar and you hear that peace again, and it becomes a new baseline. Oh, it's a peace that passes your understanding, exactly what the scripture says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known in God, and then something's going to happen. The peace of God. You're emptying your spiritual junk drawer here. And I love what it says too, with thanksgiving. In other words, there is faith as you're emptying it. God, you're going to help me put this back together again. Praise God. You're faithful. There's an old song that says, he'll do it again. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Has he always come through? There's a sense that you're doing this in faith with thanksgiving. And that's what this scripture also says. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful. You'll see a connection between peace and thanksgiving. And so we're emptying the junk drawer in faith with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it surpasses my understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace is like a guard. You go from here to here, and when you, there's a lightness because you got what's in you out, haven't solved a single problem. Don't know what's going to happen next. Don't know the things you can't control. You still can't control them. You still don't know what's going to happen. But all you've got, you know, is a peace. And it passes your understanding. And what does it do? It keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. New Living says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard, I love that, guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The Message, part of it says, it's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. When Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Something happens here when you, by faith, move from this place to this place and you begin to talk out and all of a sudden there's some spiritual activity. You just get God-focused and God-centric. You're focused on Him. Instead of being focused on the imperfections of people and situations, you're focused on God and trusting Him. There's a displacement that happens. There's some of that word is just displaced. It's kind of like if you had a bowl and you had a bowl full of water, you call the water of worry, all right? And you take the rock that is higher than I, that's the size of that bowl, and you plop it in that bowl, the water of worry is going out. It's getting displaced. And all you did was put a rock in. That's what you're doing here. You're not trying to figure out how to get the water out. You're just putting the rock in. I'm going to the rock that is higher than I, and I'm looking at that rock. There's a displacement that happens. There's a peace. But what happens when you begin to experience that fellowship with God? There's a new baseline now. The baseline is peace. I'm going to stay in a place of peace. You remember where He's getting us to? He's getting us from standing up to lying down, to finding rest for our souls. This is not problem solving. We're just getting in a place where we can hear the solution. We're just getting there. We're just moving from anxiety to peace. That's it. That's the scope. All right? So as we're looking at this, we're saying, okay, praise God. My expectation, Father God, as I'm letting this request be made known to you, is the peace. Because when you're over here long enough, after a while, you just want the peace. Praise God. All I care about is peace, walking with Jesus, and then having ears to hear as He leads and guides me to all truth. But there is something that happens here. There's a peace that passes our understanding. And when we're here, again, I'm right here, I'm with all of us as we're growing, you can either make a move here for God's peace that passes, because when you're over here, when you have anxiety, there's noise, isn't there? It's like noise in your mind. That's aptly described. The enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's noise. Roar is loud. It's a noise. It's a noise of the mind. And there are choices we all have when it comes to quieting the noise. We can move this way to the throne of grace, to the great high priest, to the good shepherd, or we can move a whole other direction in the way of the world. Because the world also has relief. This is really the basis for what we would call addiction and deliverance. We get in this inflection point, and we get used to going over here to quiet the noise temporarily. And as we make the sidestep from here to here, to here to here, to here to here, to here to here, to here to here, we develop addictions and different things like that. Because God has something. It's a peace that passes our understanding. It's really, think of it like a high. It's a high. The word even says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. There is a spiritual, godly, good drunkenness where your focus is on Him and you've got a peace that passes your understanding. You've got a person over here and he goes, you'd be flying high. No worries, man. Dude, I'm flying. I got a peace that passes my understanding. Well, yeah, you've got a chemical thing going on that you're going to come crashing down from. And this is sticking your head in the sand. This is not a crutch. This is not sticking your head in the sand. This is confronting anxiety and doing something about it. And when the enemy comes about as a roaring lion, you can say, praise God. Because when you cast your care over on Him, it doesn't mean that He's going to leave you alone. He's going to try to get you back over there, right? But what do you say? No, praise God, I've cast that care on the Lord. I've done something about it. Now, if you haven't done something about it, you're still here. But if you've prayed and you've on purpose let your request be made known unto God, you've done what the Word has told you to do. And when He comes knocking, say, no, I've let my request be made known unto God. I believe God is, and I believe He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I believe He's heard me when I prayed. I know He's doing something about it. I'm staying in that place of peace. But there is a barometer inside, there's peace. Because once you get over here and there's a sense of peace, it's like, I want to stay here. I want to stay here in this place of peace. And as you're here in this place of peace, and you hear the roars, of the peripheral roars trying to draw you back, nope, I'm going to stay here. There's a peace that passes my understanding. Again, there's such an interesting parallel with worldly highs and addictions and fill in the blank, all right? We all have what the scripture says, the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. Whatever those things are that get you going this direction instead of this direction. For the fleshly high, the fleshly quiet, and I mean, you hear when people start talking, you know, they get into some dark places, they actually know. They're negotiating with the enemy. If he'll be quiet, they'll do some things for him. I mean, it gets into some dark stuff. You can, a lot of times we kind of unconsciously do it through the pull of the flesh, but people can even get over to where you're consciously doing. And you got to realize, no, I'm not pivoting that way. I am pivoting this way. I magnify the Lord above everything and everyone. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. There's more power here than there is over there. There is a peace here that's not there. There's a deliverance here that's not there. There's Jesus here. Praise God. And so as I'm here, I'm pivoting, I'm receiving, I've opened my heart. There's a care that I've cast upon him. But you'll notice that the scripture says, and I kind of want to go back to this, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That word rule means to control the activity of someone based upon correct judgment and decision. Remember how we said when I'm over here, I'm having to give up control? You're giving control to someone very in particular, the peace of God, the Holy Ghost. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God control you. Be controlled by peace. Be controlled by the peace of God. In other words, if something's coming, it's not peace. I know that direction. I've been down that path, been around that, but don't go. You have no moral obligation to go there. Peace. I'm maintaining a baseline of peace. And this is where thanksgiving and praise and worship comes in. You're going to be praising and worshiping God. But there is a choice here. There is a peace that passes our understanding that will quiet the noise better than any worldly alternative. It'll quiet the noise, and it'll keep your heart and mind in him, and there will be faith, and there will be clarity, and there will be confidence. You don't even have it figured out. All you know is, I got a peace that's passing my understanding right now. Have you ever been there before where you've experienced that peace that passes your understanding? Man. It's not my brilliance that I'm not running around crazy right now. There's something bigger and deeper at work here. It's what Jesus said would be working. Come unto me, I am meek, I'm lowly in heart. When I'm coming to this place and I'm bearing my soul, I'm bearing my soul to my good shepherd who's meek and lowly in heart. I'm bearing my soul to my great high priest who has been touched with the feeling of my infirmities. He's been touched with the feeling of everything that I'm experiencing over here in this whirlwind. And the Bible says, because of that, he's sympathetic. Isn't that good to know? As I'm emptying my junk drawer, I'm emptying it before my great high priest who's been touched with the feeling of my infirmities and is sympathetic. He knows what I'm going through. He has walked a mile in my shoes. He knows what it's like to have people talk about you. I mean, really, people who just dedicate their lives to talking about you and follow you around and betray you. And he knows all the hurt feelings of that stuff. He's been touched with those feelings. He's able to sympathize. And there's mercy and grace to help. And he's meek and he's lowly in heart. So as I'm here, I'm coming before a good shepherd who's making me to lie down. A very sweet, loving, kind Jesus. What do we believe about Jesus in our? That's who he is. Oh, that's who he is. He's just wanting to get us to that place where we got ears to hear again. But he's sweet, he's kind, he's gentle. And there is a spiritual high, as it were. I just kind of use that word to contrast, you know what I mean? Like a worldly high. That's the real thing. It's not a phony, artificial thing. It's a peace that passes our understanding. What does it do? It guards our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I love that. It will guard your hearts and minds. It like sets up a guard right there. Praise God. It will keep you. Then finally, restricting your thoughts. There's kind of three pieces. As you move from anxiety to peace, you're going to start out by confronting that anxiety. You're not going to stay over here in a phony state of spirituality. You are going to graphically, in prayer and supplication, let those anxiety-oriented things be turned into prayer requests to God. Get what's in your heart out. Cast those cares upon Him. This is where you are being straightforward. In the meantime, there's a peace you'll experience that passes your understanding. Now, when you're saying these things and you're getting in your heart, let me say this. A lot of times we'll say, you know, as you're praying, I'm not like looking for a feeling of peace, okay? But as I'm praying, you can tell in your spirit. This is one of the reasons we get the spirit. As I'm just getting what's in my heart out, I can tell when I'm beginning to be honest with my heart. Ultimately, you know what this exercise is, casting your cares? It's getting you to a place to where you are honest with you again. And you're talking from your heart, and you're not hiding anything. And you're not couching anything. You're being real. You're just being real. Stay here till you get real. Stay here. Linger here till you get real. When you get real, you'll know that peace. That sense of peace. Because if you have the ability to be real, you got peace. That person cannot be real. It takes God coming to that throne of grace where there's mercy and grace to help you be real. We might say the word unwind. Well, there is a kind of an unwinding that happens as you're just beginning to see. Something spiritual happens, though, where you begin to get real. You experience that peace, and it becomes the new baseline. I want to walk in that peace. It's displacing the worry and the fear and the anxiety. As you do it, there's a final piece to it, and what we just call restricting your thoughts, okay? Yeah, I like to liken this to a batter. We got the baseball season starting up where you're swinging, and there's a follow-through to your swing. Restricting your thoughts is kind of the follow-through that you're going to do as you're going from anxiety to peace. This is what Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is very restrictive language as far as our thinking goes. And yet he says this in conjunction with overcoming anxiety in verse 6. It's all connected. Be anxious for nothing, the peace that happens. Finally, in conclusion, final point, point A, point B, point C. Getting ready to close up the message. Want to leave you with this. Restrict your thought life. This is where you will get accused of being crutched, sticking your head in the sand, da-da-da-da-da-da. But before you ever do verse 8, you've done some due diligence. You came all the way over from verse 6 to verse 7 to verse 8. As you're beginning to set your mind on these things that are true and honest and just, it's a powerful follow-through because, like we said, the enemy is not going to stop roaring just because you went to the throne of grace. What's going to happen is you're going to begin to get ears to hear, but you'll still hear faint roars that'll try to suck you back in. But this is where you're going to say no. This is where you're blocking out the roars. Look at the words he uses in particular, because when you're in a place of anxiety, you're not naturally thinking of things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely. That's not what you're thinking. You got anxiety, prayer requests. I'm coming over here. I'm in a place of peace. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to think on those things that are true, honest, just. Why is this so restrictive in my thought life? You know, if I was to say, if we were to play a game, just who can stay in the room game? And I said, okay, you have to be a certain gender. You have to be within a certain age range. You have to have a certain hair color. You have to have a certain eye color and a certain occupation. There wouldn't be many people left in this room if we had some very specific thing. It would clear out a lot of things. Think on things that are true. Well, they really did that to me. And noble. And just. And pure. And lovely. Good report. Virtuous. Praiseworthy. There's a lot of thoughts that need to leave the room.
It gets very restrictive in your thought process right after this. I mean, that verse is right there, right da-da-da-da-da. For a reason. Finally, in conclusion, in conjunction with what I just got done saying, restrict your thought life. This is not cowardice. This is not hiding. This is staying tuned in to God. God knows it. And this is where the enemy tries to lure us off. But no, once I've done my due diligence, I've let my request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And I'm in a place, that peace, where I know what's in my heart is out. I know that he's heard it. Now I'm going to think on things that are true. What if? What if? You know, he says, the things that are true. Do you know, speculation is not true things. Speculation is speculation. You know, there's things that we tolerate in our minds that wouldn't even be tolerated in a court of law. Objection. Speculation. Calls for speculation. You know, arguments. But there's things in our mind that we just got to say, no, no. Calls for speculation, wrong. It's not true. It's not known and noble and just. And does it fit these things? Do you know why? The wisdom that comes from above is pure and peaceable and gentle and full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. And it's sown in peace of them that make peace. When you're getting his wisdom, that's what it sounds like. But carnal wisdom, he says, but if you have strife and bitterness and envy in your heart, don't spiritualize it and go on some spiritual ego trip like you got some. He says, it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. If it stirs you up to bitterness and you're over there pretending like you're really pure, no, you're self-deceived. Spiritual things are real. Peace of God is real. Jesus is real. Fellowship with Jesus is real. And there's a phony religion thing that we can identify sometimes that we'll look out across different realms of Christianity. We can get into it ourselves. Keep it real. You'll get over here, and it's a place of being real. Things that are true, honest, just. What is this? I like to say this verse 8 is kind of like a frequency. It's like a tuning channel. There are frequencies spiritually that are going on day and night. There is the accuser of the brethren station. Accusing before God day and night and day and night, 24/7. It's the accusing station. There's another station. For those four creatures, holy, 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 day and night is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, over and over, worshiping, praising God. There are 24/7 frequencies. One of the things about the Psalm 1 guy, why he's so blessed, is he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. There's a frequency there that'll play on your pain and your hurt and your injustice. But when you begin to tune in, things that are true, noble, just, lovely. You know, there are times in your life when you're going through some things that it's not time for you to be helping other people who are going through it. There's time where you need to heal. It's time where you just need to restrict. You know, when you think of that restrictive thought, it's almost kind of like a cast, isn't it? What does a cast do? A cast restricts your movement. Why? Because that bone is healing. And in that restricted movement, the bone is healing. If you try to put pressure on it right away, it's going to be painful. But if you let it heal, you'll find you can go there and walk on it again and really help somebody else up. But first, you need to heal. There's a season. This is really seasonal as it relates to verse 6. There is a season where you're very restrictive of your thought life. I don't mean the seasonal like there's the times that you think on natural, carnal, bad stuff. I'm just saying in connection with what he's trying to get across here, you're going to restrict your thought life on purpose. And it's not because I'm burying my head in the sand. No. What am I doing? I'm doing exactly what the Word of God tells me in conjunction. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Mighty for God through pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amplified, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself against the true knowledge of God, that we may lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. When I'm in this place, I'm not in some weird fluffy la-la land in verse 8. I'm in step C of A, B, and C. I've done my due diligence. I've confronted my anxiety. I've brought it to God. I've poured my heart out to Him. I'm trusting him with it. And having done all to stand, I'm standing right here. And I have no moral obligation to have to entertain every untrue, unjust, innoble, unlovely, bad report thought. Praise God. I'm free. I've brutally looked at it head on, dealt with it, and now I am by faith restricting my thought life. Not because I don't have the intelligence to go beyond that little restrictive thought. I do. Right back to his trap again. But I'm not going to. I'm humbling myself. And as I'm doing it, there's a healing that's taking place. And I'm staying in a place of thanksgiving. What? You know, there's a person who meets all these restrictions, all these restrictive thoughts. It's the same person who got us through all five of those scriptures. It's the same person who brings us, who moves us from anxiety to peace. It's Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He is noble. He is just. He is pure. He is lovely. He is of good report. He is virtuous. He is praiseworthy. If you don't know where to start there, start with Jesus. Jesus, 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 and just begin to worship from here. You're in perfect harmony with verse 8 there. And he'll begin to show you other things to be thankful for and the amazing things. He'll remind you of things he's done in your life and past deliverances. And you're going to be singing, man, goodness, I don't know how, I don't know when, but he'll do it again. You'll begin to magnify God from that place. And praise God. All he's doing, he's bringing you from a place of anxiety to a place of peace, which is going to, verse 12, 1 through 2, we see the scripture again too. See it in conjunction with the healing and the restoring of our soul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. New Living says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When you humble yourself and you restrict your thought life to that verse 8 stuff, when you're saying, I'm keeping my thought life here, nope, that thought doesn't, I'm bringing it into captive to the obedience of Christ, that doesn't fit, forget it. That's what's going to keep you tuned in to hear what God is saying. True, honest, just, the Spirit of God flows through that. Not because it's positive and negative, it's spiritual, and it's truth, and it's right, and you've exercised faith, and God honors that. This is where faith comes in. It is faith to allow God to do that. To say, I'm staying right here. As I'm staying right there, I'm being changed by the way I think. So as I'm here, you know, problem, I come through here, I kind of get drugged back there. I'm not getting drugged back there this time. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to stay on those things that are true, honest, just. I've done what God's told me to do. Now I can do what he's telling me to do to just keep it simple. I'm restricting my thought. I see it as a cast, what we call it, the healing of the brokenhearted. You know, your heart can heal. There will be some restrictions for a while sometimes, but your heart will heal. And all of a sudden, you know how it is with pain? It's kind of like sometimes you're in pain with something and then you realize, hey, I don't have that pain anymore. You almost don't kind of, you're just kind of in the zone of taking care. And that's what will happen too. My heart, my eyes, my mind is fixed on Jesus. All of a sudden, something happens and it doesn't send me 15 layers deep anymore. It's like, oh yeah, praise God. There's something in me, something that's holding me up. Praise God. And then finally, I'm just kind of doing this one again because this is, to me, in my life, getting from here to here is a control issue. And we got to come back to giving God control. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. As I'm coming in here, there's some thoughts I'm losing. There's a humble, I'm losing, like I said, there's some thoughts that aren't going to be in the room anymore. I'm losing those thoughts. I'm restricted to the thoughts, and in my, it's funny, but fewer thoughts, and I can see more with fewer thoughts in the room. It's kind of like God with his armies. Yeah, you got too many people in this army. You got to pare them down. Send them home. Too many. You got the praisers and the worshipers. Great. Now we can get something done. God will start paring thoughts down in your mind. Hey, you got too much thought here. Too much junky thought. Just a few thoughts. Just a couple thoughts with praise and worship. And he can overcome cities, overcome strongholds and arguments and reasonings with just the sharp sword of his Spirit. If it's your first concern to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. Forget about yourself. Look to me. You'll find both yourself and me. Again, it's pride that tries to get us out. Finally, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it. Give up your life for me, you will find it. So there is a losing and a finding all the way down here that moves you from a place of anxiety to peace. So there's going to be a confronting, of anxiety? Yes. Turning over the junk drawer and then really just allowing the peace of God to rule. Like I said, be willing to just pour out your heart. And don't feel like it's going to be pretty. It's going to be messy. When you're praying, when you're turning anxiety into a prayer request, a lot of times it's going to be messy. Not that it has to be. If you got something clear and clean, great, good, go for it. But don't feel like you're going to just pray one little thing and you'll have covered it. You're just going to begin to pray it out, just emptying it out, casting those cares on the Lord, turning over the junk drawer, and just knowing, God, you are going to put Humpty back together again. You're going to have to figure this out. All I want is I want to let your peace rule in my heart. That means give control to the peace and then restrict my thoughts going forward. That's really the follow through. I'm going to think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Lord, I just want ears to hear what you're saying. And what are you doing? You're just walking with Jesus. He's just being Lord of your life. You're just keeping yourself in a place to where you can hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Well, Heavenly Father, we just pray right now that you will just help each one of us. You know our lives. You know our situations. You know the things we're going through. I just pray, Father, that you'll help each one of us in this place this morning move from that place of anxiety to the place of peace. If your heart can agree with these words, go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, what I believe about you matters. Jesus, I believe you are gentle. I believe you are lowly in heart. I believe you're sympathetic to my human condition. You experienced it fully in every point, and you're sympathetic to me. There's nothing in my junk drawer that you haven't seen. There's nothing new there. It's all common to man. Help me to be honest, to humble myself, to give you control, and just speak from my heart, casting those cares, lying down in your green pastures, coming before the throne of grace, finding a peace that passes my understanding, mercy and grace to help, still waters that still my soul. Encourage my spirit, Father. Your peace is better than any natural addiction. It's the real thing. I'm settled down and I have my conscience. And within that conscience, there's real hope. There's real trust. There's life. The ability to love. The ability to wait. The ability to heal. Just to be in a place where I can hear what your Spirit is saying. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for being such a good Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.